have all your Bibles, may we please all stand and turn our Bible to 1 Thessalonians. Please stand, please, for the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians, that's in the New Testament for those people that don't know, and it's let's read from chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. I'm reading from the New King James. I, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Verse 5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, so that you became examples to all Macedonia and Achaia who believe, for from you the word of God has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything, for they themselves declare concerning, this is now verse 9, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Dear God, we thank you for your word this morning. May this word encourage us this morning to all the faithful brethren who you call. And Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that take captive of every thought that I have, and I bring my body as a living sacrifice to you. And Lord, Holy Spirit, speak to your people today that I am just your messenger this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all be seated. I am so proud. Oh, I guess I have to use this mic. I am so proud of International Christian Faith Church because we have like outstanding employees here. You know, we have Patricia Solis, who's been He was recognized as an outstanding employee. We have Camille, who's been outstanding employee of Loma Linda. We have Camille Gonzalez, who was recognized in her job, and also Pastor Ed was recognized in the job as employees of the year. Also, the one that's not here today, Nanita Andia was also recognized. So in other words, here in ICFC, we have outstanding employees, and we are so proud of you. Now, if God were to come today, you know, and he were to give us and come here and write a letter of recommendation, the title of my message this morning is Letter of Recommendation. So if God were here today, and write a letter of recommendation to ICFC, what would he write? You know how Jesus wrote to the seven churches in Asia, and he had like commendations and criticisms for those churches. So for things to, I mean, I chose the Church of Thessalonica as like our model church this morning. And we will compare ourselves, or we will like do an evaluation of ourselves as a church with the Church of Thessalonica. So what do we know about Thessalonica? Let's give a little background. After the death of Alexander the Great in 323, after he died, there were five generals, and one of these generals' name was Cassander. And so Cassander ruled in the capital city of Therma, or Hot Springs. Then he renamed that city after the sister, after the stepsister of Alexander the Great, and called it Salonia, or Salonki, which is now Thessalonica. So on the map, and I have a map here, we see that it's along the harbor. It's very small. I don't know if you can see it, but it's there along Agency, there. I don't know if you could see it. But it's along Agency, and Paul went there on his second journey from Philippi. So in other words, it's a harbor, very close to the sea, and it's a very, people go in and out. It's a commercial city. So sometimes in my mind, I would think more of like Olongapo City or Subic Bay. I haven't been to Subic Bay because Subic Bay is close to waters. And so when he was there, Paul presented the gospel to these people at the church in Thessalonica. And then people were all getting saved, and great things were happening there. But, there was also opposition. There were people there that was opposing the work of Paul over there. In fact, they wanted to get Paul, And so, in other words, there was opposition in spite of the great work of God. And so this is a letter in response to the oppositions, in spite of the oppositions. And he was very relieved of what was happening in the church of Thessalonica. And there are three things that he commended this church. And the first one is that they had a faithful service to the Lord. And how do I know that? Verse 3 and 4 says that remember without ceasing your work of faith. So in other words, they not only have faith, but their faith produce works. Because the Bible tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. And for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So in other words, those people in Thessalonica, after they heard the word of Paul or the gospel from Paul, they started to seek the word of God. They diligently sought the word of God. And they sought first the righteousness of God. And what a commendation. And now I am here in the ministry because I received a call from God. Now, this call is a heavenly calling. I mean, I'm here being obedient to the call of God in my life. I always thought that I would, when I retire, this was my thinking before. When I retire, I'm going to serve God full time. But lo and behold, God calls you in the middle of your profession, because I had a good profession. I was a nurse. I was receiving big bucks at that time because I was in the highest level already in the hospital. And so I was receiving big bucks. Pastor Ed was receiving big bucks, but he also retired at that time. So God, when you receive a call from God, I had to retire and serve him full time. And so now I think of the heavenly calling, because it's a calling from heaven. So when I leave this earth, when I am here on this earth, I am living as if it's my last day, because my home is in heaven. In fact, I always tell, my prayer partners here that sometimes I really feel the feeling of Paul, that I want to be with my Savior. I'd like to go and, I don't mind dying now because I know I'll be with my Savior and how I love to be with my Savior. But on the other hand, I see there's a lot of dying people, not when I say dying people, there's souls that are dying because they haven't heard the gospel. And that's why Paul was torn between dying and living. So, dying for some people is like they have this fear of death, but to me, anytime, God can call me anytime. I want to be with my Savior. Amen? Don't die. I want to see my my grand, you know, he hasn't allowed me because he wanted me to see the gift of our grandson. So in other words, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What happens when we really believe that? You know, because when we diligently seek, because I was so on fire for God, I really want I really want the will of God in my life, and God started to reveal himself to me. That, you know, sometimes I was every time we have our reunion, our high school reunion, be it our high school reunion or our college reunion, they think of me as that shy person that never say a word, because sometimes they tell me, you know, Rose, we don't know if you're present or absent, because they don't know whether I'm there or not, because they cannot hear from me. I'm a very shy and very quiet person. But, you know, God has the ability to transform you. You know, the Holy Spirit, when he empowers, when he comes upon you, you have no choice but to deliver the word of God. And that's why I'm here in front of you. It's not because I'm so good, but because the power of God has released, you know, the Spirit of God comes upon you and empowers you to deliver the word of God. And that was happening in the church of Thessalonica. They hear the word of God from Paul. They started to diligently seek him. And then now they were, like, they spread, as we will see later on. Now let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. I don't have that on the PowerPoint, but I want you, let us all read it, because then we know that it's not coming from me, but it's coming from it's a word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. This is a letter of Paul, and he says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. In other words, when we die, and we will all die, we will come judgment. And I want that on the judgment day, God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's all I want to hear from God. And welcome, Rose, because you have been faithful in little means. I welcome you in the kingdom of God. That what a powerful motivation for all the Thessalonians. They were looking forward to that day when they face judgment, because they know they were faithful to the service of God. Why were they so faithful in the service of God? Because they were prompted by the love. That's what it says. They were prompted by the love of the people. You know, you are compelled by the love of your people. Because I love you, that's why I have to speak to you the gospel or the truth. You know, because they were prompted by the love, nothing else other than they were compelled by the love of the people and the love for God. Love for God, and they were compelled by the love to the people. And that's what compelled them to share the gospel. And what else? Because there was endurance that was inspired by the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that was their hope. Because knowing that while they do their service here in earth, they know that there will be judgment day, and they can say, then face the Savior and say, you know, Lord, I've done what my best for your service, because I love you so much. This is what I'm doing. I'm not speaking about works to get yourself saved. I'm speaking of faith that produces works. Because faith without works is dead. And what was the hope of Jeremiah when there was no more hope? He says, This I recall to mind, he disciplined his thought life to ponder the Lord's mercies and goodness. He was the one that says his mercies are new every morning. He always pondered with God. Because now that I'm teaching on the names of God, this is what God has been speaking to me, who he is in his name. He's the Elyon. He's the Almighty God. My, what a service. I mean, I used to serve Kaiser, you know, big name of Kaiser. But what is the most privileged thing that I'm doing now is service in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, the God that spoke into being. And to me, and once you do your service to God, once you give him the full, your 100% to God, when you give him control of everything, then he says, everything will be added unto you. And I know and I can testify that when he says it, it's true and it settles it. Because now I'm enjoying the fruits, some of the fruit, I mean, not some, but enjoying the fruits of our faith service to God. So they had faith that produced work, they had love that produced labor, and they had hope that motivated endurance. What was the second thing that they were commended for? They were faithful to the word. Let's go back to verses 5 and 6. And so you go back to Thessalonians. Five and six. He says, for our gospel did not come to you in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word of God, there you go, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. So they received the word of God, and they did not harden their hearts towards the word of the Lord. When life does not go the way we want to, when there are disappointments and discouragements, there is the temptation to close the word, to wallow in self-pity and get angry with God. But you know, it is that time when we draw near to God. Those hopeless times are the times when we draw near to God. Because God says when you draw near to him, he will draw nigh to you. Because when things or disappointments or discouragements come into your life, there are only two options. Either you go farther away from him, getting so angry with him, getting so, what else, wallowing your self-pity. What will that do? It just costs you more trouble. And then you have this choice. And this is the choice that we had with Pastor Ed when we were in our greatest disappointment, was to draw near to God. And he drew near to us. Because these Thessalonians, like I said earlier, they did not, I mean, there was also oppositions there. I mean, Jason was, what do you call this? He was dragged out from that house because they were having a Bible study or they were having a Bible study. They dragged Jason out from that house because they could not find Paul, because they had to tell Paul, you know, you better go to Berea. So there was opposition in the church of Thessalonica. Who knows that opposition sometimes, when you are doing the work of God, you always have oppositions. And opposition that does not mean that we are doing wrong. Sometimes it's an evidence that we are doing something right. Because I can see that there's so much opposition on Trump now that he's standing for make sure that we can say Merry Christmas now. He now wants to make sure that we respect the flag. But there's so much opposition. There's strike here, strike there, and you know. And I'm not saying I like everything that Trump does, but because you know, righteousness, God is still in control. God is still our leader. You know, he raises up kings, he brings down kings, so it's still God that that allowed Trump to be the president of this day. But who knows, but like I said, rather than be discouraged by opposition, we take comfort in the faithfulness of God, because I know that God is always faithful. And he will never and never deny himself. And I know that we've heard opposition. We've had oppositions in this church. We've had bad things heard about this church. We've had bad things spoken against us. But you know, you have to stand faithful, because that's the command of God. You remain faithful. And what is the third thing that they were commended for? They were faithful in spreading the gospel. It says here, for Verse 7, so that you became examples. In other words, after they heard, they become examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of God has grounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. In other words, when they heard Paul, they diligently sought him. They had faith in God. They were compelled by the love of God. And they had this hope that someday there will be judgment. That's how they were, the church of Thessalonica. They were on fire. There was opposition right and left, but they continued to be examples. They went on with the work of God. And you know, I am so thankful for the ones that are here that are still very faithful to the work of God. And being faithful. Some have left and gone, but you're still here, and you're being faithful to the work of God. And your examples is not only confined here, but when you go to your workplace, when you go to your school, when you go to your neighbors, do they see Jesus in your life? Does the light of Jesus shine in your hearts? Because it looks like this church in Thessalonians, after the gospel was preached to them, they saw that there's something with this Paul. You know, he used to be persecuting the Christians, but his life was transformed. Now he's declaring the gospel. Something that he must be saying must be true. So that's why they saw the Bible and his example to them. Gave them they sought the word, and then they became examples to the other nations. That's what the word of God tells us. In other words, nothing was going to deter them from proclaiming the gospel. So regardless whether Myra was feeling bad or good that day, he still remained faithful in praying to God. He's still here. She is still here. That did not discourage him. Even if Sister Camille was sick and dying at that time, we could say dying because she was comatose, Brother Ken is still here serving God. Even if... Who else do I know? Even if Sister Becky, things were not going in under her, she's still here because she's faithful to God. So I can see in your lives, even Sister Pia, even if things are not going right with the children, maybe the way she wants it, but she's still here. And so this message is for all the faithful, you people that are faithful, still serving God. Because you are compelled by the love of God, for your love for God. You haven't given up. And that's why I want to show this film while I drink my water. It's Rudy. Go ahead, Irvin.
Do they see me work produced by faith, labor prompted by love, and endurance inspired by hope? Am I diligently seeking God through the word? Am I seeking his righteousness first? Am I a living example to others? Amanda Irina, Greta, and Camille Gonzalez,
Veterans Hospital. And you know, veterans, you see a visible signs of their service. You see missing limbs, or maybe a scar or a pin holding the bones together because of a fracture or a piece of sharpness in the leg. A wise man once said that when we appear before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, he will look at us very carefully and ask, "Where are your scars?" Jesus asked. If we respond, "We have no scars," he will then reproach us and say, "Why? Was there nothing worth fighting for?" Think about that.